SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday. Race fans, Sirius 219 XM, 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website too, stevebick.com. A midweek, as we really are trying to do our best to make the transition from the summer season. And believe me, it's going to be dragged away with my teeth marks on it. I am kind of hanging on to the summer a little bit, I must admit, and we'll continue to touch on what we experienced and what we learned, particularly later this morning. Andy Serling going to join us. Andy back in Manhattan, ready for Belmont on Friday, or readying, and making that transition himself. And so it's so tough to watch the horses pull out and head back downstate, especially if you have a horse or two to go visit over at the Oklahoma and over at the backside. And they'll stay open, obviously, for really now the two solid months. The activity on the training front at Saratoga, that continues. And unfortunately, don't have that same opportunity to go watch your horses work. You get used to that. You get into a routine, especially for us, because we had the two-year-olds particularly that were working virtually every Sunday. So that was fun. And in advance of the TV show, several Sundays got a chance to go over. And so many people, if you canvass fans and owners and players, a lot of them cherish the morning as much as the afternoon. In some cases, more. You see it so often. People say there's nothing like the mornings. The photographers, they are always looking for that early morning light and all that. So we're all kind of making the shift. I had to shift into, I sent out a picture last night. I have to shift into, looking after Tina, because she's back to school. Yesterday they had whatever the superintendent's days, today and yesterday, and the kids report tomorrow. But yes, for the first time in 2 months plus, Tina, up and at them. A lot of times she wasn't getting up until she heard me start the show. She was sleeping till 9. That's it. No more of that. She's up and at it by 6. So now I have to make coffee, and I got to get her organized, and point her in the right direction. It's like Mr. Mom. It's those scenes when Michael Keaton is shoving toast in Terry Garr's mouth in the shower. Yeah, it was a little bit like that. 220, 221, whatever it takes. Andy's back today, and Casey says he got a chance to watch it. I didn't see it, but Mr. Mom is—it's the greatest. How about a little trim off that mustache, Ron? one of my absolute favorites. Back when Michael Keaton was funny, you remember that? it feels like a lifetime ago. maybe I'm a little punchy. Maybe that may be part of the today's storyline. The Kentucky Downs action resumes tomorrow, and our first visitor, actually, after the first break, I'm going to push Pete back. That actually suits him, because he's got Perrin to bring to school, her first day of school. But I'm telling you, everybody's trying to get back into their life, back into their routine. But Andy at 11 o'clock, and we'll get the meet retrospective from him. And I went through some charting overnight and this morning, actually, and I got some interesting points. I got some specifics regarding the way in which out-of-towners turned up and got away with the money. At least 10 stake races. At least 10. The tail of the cat, Ned Allard, came in. The hopeful, obviously, Greg Sacco. And by the way, Joe Bianca wrote a terrific piece in TDN about the Sacco family. A lot of the things and the themes we struck yesterday with Greg, you may have heard the replay in the last couple of hours. And Joe just happened to hit on the same storyline with the Brunettis and the Saccos, and how intertwined their racing interests and lives have been. But Greg came in, took the hopeful. Stuart Simon came in with that Rose's Vision and won the Better Talk Now. Chucky Lawrence, of course, the Bowling Green and the Sword Dancer. Chris Davis, Moonlit Garden, the Summer Colony. Brandon McFarland came and took the two-year-old race with Chattel, the Skidmore, 22-1. There was, technically, the Waya was off the turf, but still, Lynn Ashby, Tricky Escape. Louis Carvajal, that's a little different. That's at a high level with a proven, established, familiar stake horse in Imperial Inn. But it counts. And then Darren Miller, you might have forgotten, with Ruby Notion in the Caress, 27-1. So that's 10 stakes from the program that Invaders walked away with. And then there was the Finger Lakes story, Ralph D'Alessandro, Debbie Breed, Sal Iorio. Alejandro Mamo. He's bringing that nice runoff winner. She's a super freak. She's going to be a favorite probably in the Ladyfinger Saturday at Finger Lakes. But there were a whole bunch of... Jeff Englehart won two. I mean, there were at least 10 Finger Lakes winners. So that to me was a big... I know I've brought it up a few times, but I wanted to get some, get a handle on the specifics and the numbers. And then there was just the other wins. Mamo not only won with that 12-1 winner there with She's a Super Freak, he also had Jazzy J, who was a score at 13-1. Richie Vega, it was Tony's birthday yesterday. I hope some people wish Tony a happy birthday. Vega went 2-for-3, and he probably would have gone 3-for-4 had Collegeville Girl not gotten hurt in the gate before the stake. So there was a lot of that, and we'll hit all the highlights with Andy. Get him back. Sid will be here hour two. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale. Get some 2-year-old stake success storylines coming out of the weekend with all the important grade ones, the four of them on either coast. Do some more of that as we do with Sid. Seth Merrill in hour three as well. And I started to tell you about Kentucky Downs. It's Old Friends Day tomorrow at Kentucky Downs. So Michael Blowen is going to join us right after the first break. All right. So there's the in essence, the lineup. Speaking of stakes, there's also today, and because I forgot to mention yesterday, you had the A.J. Foyt and the Florence Henderson at Indiana Grand, two of my favorites. And today, the Caesars, 5:21 Eastern, the $200,000 Caesars, and then half an hour later, the Indiana Grand. Three-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass for $200,000. So a couple of good, and it's a good stake. It's a good field. Nice full field, including the return. I'd forgotten about this filly until I saw her in the PPs this morning, and that was Sirenusa for Joe Sharp. Joe Sharp had that really good start. He started very acutely at Saratoga, and then didn't. You know, then they you got to be careful when trainers get off to certain starts at meets, and then you think, oh, I got to bet all his horses. A lot of times, by the time you think of that, it's too late. You've already missed it. So, Sirenusa comes back here. The Tisnow filly, last seen winning the Tawi. Before that, she ran a good second to I'm Betty G and the Lady Canterbury. And she also won that Oaks at Canterbury earlier. Broke her maiden at Fairgrounds as a two-year-old and then came back and won an allowance at Keeneland sprinting. But she's shaping into a nice turf miler and is just that one second place finish behind I'm Betty G, who's a nice filly, from being undefeated. That's for the Butzows, Joni and Barry Butzow. $105,000 Keeneland yearling. Who else is of note that you'll be familiar with that have campaigned around? Graham Motion goes out there with a Wertheimer homebred, Ken D'Argent filly, and Maura Kane, last seen in her first start for Graham in the Ontario Colleen. And she had underwhelmed in her last start for Christophe Furlon at Belmont in the Wonder again. She's 8-1. Beyond Blame for Brad Cox out of the Pucker Up. She won the Regret back in June. So, nice field, the Indiana Grand. The boys' race, No Brag, Just Fact, Eric Heitzman, very quietly has done a nice job. Mark Cassie, haven't had a chance to talk to Cassie about the Del Mar Derby win with Ride a Comet. Curlin's Honor, though, for Breeze Easy. Sniper Kitten in here, too. Quite a few out of the Mystic Lake Derby. Untamed Domain, who actually ran okay in the Secretariat. Was 12-1, was 7th, but he was only beaten 4 lengths. And Sniper Kitten is 4-1. So don't keep an eye on that. That's with a quiet, somewhat quiet Wednesday, more quiet than usual with California and New York swinging back into shape by the end of the week. What else do I have sitting on the desk? A lot of this we'll save and weave in. Of course, services for John Asher today, and so many people moved by yesterday's mile and a quarter trip for John, escorted by the Outriders. Came back a 112 buyer for John, making his last trip under the Twin Spires. Really, really pretty moving. Let's take a break. Michael Blowen kicks us off after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Buffalo Bison, Bison, Buffalo, Cannonball Rifle, Rifle and Cannonball. Let's wing the thunder rumbles, let's wing the thunder rumbles.
We're back at the races, and as we go out to Kentucky, I mentioned the two stakes yesterday and two more today. Open Company today. Yesterday, the Indiana bred variety at Indiana Grand, named after two great Indianans. They say that, Indianans? I lived in Cincinnati, but I should know. I should know what, I guess they call them, yeah. Sons and Daughters of the Wabash, I don't know, something like that. Berserk for Marvin Johnson. And this is a homebred. Johnson bred, owns, and trains, did everything but ride. That went to Jesus Castanon. And Berserk at, I think the second, second choice, close second choice. A winner took over mid-race and wins the A.J. Foyt. And when it came to the Florence Henderson, Marina's Legacy, who was favored for Aaron West, And The Bone Doctor's Stable. This is a homebred of theirs by Divine Park out of Theatrical Mare. And Marina's Legacy, Wire to Wire, also casting on. So that was the Indiana bred part of the program. And tonight, this afternoon late, the Indiana Grand and the Centaur that both look good. Now, those are nice stakes. Tomorrow, the most important stake in all of Kentucky, at least tomorrow. The Old Friends, and who better to celebrate Old Friends Day at Kentucky Downs than Michael Blow, and good morning.
Morning, Steve. I'm telling you, it's like our Kentucky Derby.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, we're very excited. Corey Johnson's done a great job for us and great job for that track. And a lot of the people from the farm are going to come down, and we're just going to have a big old party. It's going to be great.
Well, and this is now, what, about 3 years old? How many runnings have you had of this?
Four. This is the fourth. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, very nice. And the purse has gone up every year, and this year it's $250,000. So it's not exactly chump change, especially coming from somebody like me that was just so lucky to win a $3,500 non-winners at two life at Suffolk, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this really was a nice gesture and a great concept. And for those that aren't aware that either haven't been to Kentucky Downs or didn't know what the sponsorship and the tie-in entails, because it includes, you know, a featured, you know, sort of satellite farm of Old Friends.
Yes, we have some wonderful horses down there, including some. We're going to get Calamos, who is the first horse to ever win the Old Friends Stakes. Will be retired to Kentucky Downs right after the meet. So we have we borrowed a page from the Breeders' Cup, and said, you know, it's not a win and you're in like it is with Breeders' Cup. What it is if you win, you can be retired to Old Friends for life when the time comes at no charge or no obligations. Just be glad to have them. So Calamos was the first one to take advantage of that program.
That's kind of neat, and that it's sort of unique, like the matchmaker, the history of the matchmaker stakes at Monmouth, an inventive proviso in addition to a trophy and pretty nice check too. You mentioned the purse, $250,000 in here, which is really drawn a nice field too, including a personal favorite. Greg Foley has got Lloyd Madison's Zapparini, who I've always liked, and Zapparini now a 5-year-old. You got Shug in here, Dr. Mounty.
Yep.
Connor Murphy, another hard hitter, the 10-year-old Dimension, who's kind of been off form so far this year as a 10-year-old. Scooter Dickey on hand with Flatlined. I mean, this is really fun.
Flatlined.
Undrafted. Yeah.
Flatlined won this race year before last.
Yep. 2 years ago, that's right.
It'd be nice to see him back again defending a title. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, and I, as a handicapper, I think it's an impossible race to handicap. I think the favorite's going to be 6-1.
It's a mile and 70 yards, and the horse that's intriguing in here is the presence of Undrafted for Wesley Ward. Got to stretch out in this spot. It's an interesting participant in here. 4-1, and suppose that, is he favored? Yeah, they're making him the favorite.
Yeah, he 4-1.
Yeah, he is. Conquest That's Panthera true. For Cassie and Gary Barber. Yeah, you got a pretty elite group in here, Michael. You can
We're
put the
very,
arm.
Very pleased. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't be happier with all this. And Mike Smith's going to come and sign autographs for people.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, I don't even think he has a mouth. I think he's just coming.
Oh, that's great. And, you know, a day like this, especially with New York not starting until Friday, Jose Ortiz out to ride as well. And you've got, You know, you got Drayden Van Dyke came into town. It's a little bit of everything. This should be.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Really going to be a fun day. It's always been a wonderful day. And one of the things we're going to get Mike Smith to do, you know, Mike doesn't put this on his resume too often, but Mike actually rode Zippy Chippy. It's one of his best races ever. You know, Zippy's the 0-for-100 horse who's banned from every racetrack, and he's retired to our farm up in Saratoga at Cabin Creek. And Mike's going to come sign pictures of Zippy Chippy because he rode him in his fourth start and rode him well. But anybody can get Mike Smith to sign Justify.
Yeah, that's
sign
true.
Zippy Chippy.
Michael, you know, since the couple of pieces of news that we should slip in too as part of the visit, because while we were together at Saratoga, and literally since then, it's been 5 weeks, and two passings that were noted certainly in the media just in fact yesterday or Monday. AP Valentine, AP Valentine certainly as a 2-year-old and early part of his 3-year-old year was a serious horse, obviously. And then the interesting story from earlier in the month, right after the party at Saratoga, a Genuine Reward, the Genuine Risk son at 25, and considering his story, he was very interesting and popular without having any racing exploits.
Yeah, one of the things that helped us so much with Genuine Reward was Laura Hillenbrand's support. Of course, she's the woman who wrote Unbroken and Seabiscuit, and she paid for all the expenses for Genuine Reward to come from the Dakotas and the Black Hills all the way down to Kentucky to retire with us. And one of the things that made him so popular, aside from the fact that he was one of Genuine Risk's only foals, and that he looked exactly like her. I mean, it's a spitting image of his mom. And while, as you pointed out, Steve, he wasn't a very successful racehorse, but he was a great tourist attraction. I mean, people adored him. And he was extremely sweet. People could feed him carrots, and he really got into the tourism business. It's funny how horses that are related to more famous horses seem to adapt to the retirement and the visitors better than any other horse, because the other horse that we have, who fortunately is still alive, is Nicanor, who's a full brother to Barbaro, and he's the same way. He loves the visitors. So they might not have been really good race horses, but they're really, really good at greeting the visitors and having a little fun.
And one thing that's interesting about Genuine Risk, she had trouble, and probably the modern equivalent would be Rachel Alexandra, and the dangers involved in the foaling, and after just two foals to term and delivered, they stopped trying. And Rachel, of course, in a similar scenario, I mean, her babies actually were quite successful and quite talented. In fact, happened to have had a conversation yesterday with David O'Farrell from Ocala Stud off air. We were talking about Rainbow Air, who's back on the racetrack after a successful enough season, just didn't really have much of a chance to gain an interest at Stud this year, having retired after the Pegasus Day and his win there. Covered 31 mares, but O'Farrell, we happened to talk about Jess's Dream. It's just fresh in my mind, but it did catch my eye, and I only mentioned it in passing during August, Michael, because it would just kind of, the stuff comes at you fast and furious during Saratoga and that time of year. But AP Valentine.
Yeah, AP Valentine, what a neat horse. You know, he caught my eye at the beginning, obviously, because I'm a huge Celtics fan. And he had those, the white silks with the green shamrock, and it was Celtic Pride Stable back in the day when Pacino was riding high. And here comes this horse named AP Valentine. He was extremely attractive. And he was a really, really courageous horse. I mean, when we, you know, he got colicky and we sent him into the hospital, and I guess when Dr. Waldridge and Dr. Bell, you know, when they opened him up, they realized that he had really really compromised his intestines, and they were amazed that he had lived as long as he did with the kind of intestines that he had that were totally messed up. So we tried to do the surgery, but when they opened him up, they realized that it wouldn't work anymore, and we had to let him go.
I've come
to the point, Steve, where, you know, sometimes I think that we're in a position to do some really great things with these horses, and one of those things is to try to get the timing right for euthanizing them, because sometimes that's the biggest favor you can do for them.
Yeah, fair point. I saw AP Valentine quite a bit, and as a Point Given fan. Not to, you know, I hate to. I,
Me too. I was a Point Given fan too.
Well, the champagne, it Point Given had the arduous trip, and I remember from that champagne was somehow the rail opening magically for Chop Chop, for Chavez, and AP Valentine getting through somehow. I just remember, you know, groaning I can't remember if I was at Belmont for that. I mean, I was certainly when he broke his maiden at Saratoga or maybe made his debut at Saratoga, but I saw AP Valentine a bunch of times, and invariably he was one of those horses I was kind of against every time he ran. I for whatever reason. You know, everybody has those.
Yes, don't we all? Don't we all? He's like one of those horses. When you didn't bet him, he won, and when you did, he didn't.
Yeah, and he. In fact, now I'll tell you what. Now I pulled it up, and here you go. He did debut at Saratoga at the end of the meet, and he came out of. He was third behind Dollar Bill. He was in Dollar Bill's maiden win. Wow. Then in September at Belmont, he breaks his maiden by four over Pure Prize, and then goes to the Champagne and goes favored over Point Given and Yana Guska. And I'm telling you, it was as if the Red Sea parted for him. If you haven't ever seen that, pull it up. And then as a 3-year-old, things never really gelled for him. It just he was second in the Belmont or in the Preakness and the Belmont, but he didn't win beside an allowance at Hialeah in March. That was his last career win, but he. He was okay. He had
such a great personality. I mean, he was full of himself. I mean, he'd jump around and run around and, you know, tell the horses in the adjoining paddock that he was the boss, and he was really a fun horse to be around in his later years. I'll tell you that much.
Did you talk to
and
Nick
it was nice
at all?
Well, this is interesting that you should say that, because we're like the Nick Zito retirement home. I mean, we have Albert the Great and Nobis Like Showbiz and Commentator and AP Valentine. And fortunately enough, about 4 months ago, Nick came to visit all of his horses. So it was really nice he got to see him.
Oh.
And at that point, I don't think he even knew we had AP Valentine there. We were just going through the barn, and I think AP Valentine was still in quarantine. And he says, "Oh my God, you have AP Valentine here too." I said, "Yeah, we just collect your horses. Nick, when you're done."
I love it. Well, Michael, for tomorrow, for those that are going to be around, you mentioned the Mike Smith signing, and obviously you'll be there, and you know, detail, you know, the tie-in, Corey Johnson, and how, you know, how this all came about in terms of what old friends and Kentucky Downs, how they, you know, how you linked up with Corey.
Well, Corey's always been a big supporter of ours, even back, you know, when he had, when he was at Richland Hills and breeding horses over there with his good friend Bill Kasner. And he's always been interested in having something for these retired horses. And he was one of the people, too, that understood that they still had value beyond their racing and breeding years as tourist attractions. And he always thought that we should have one at the track. And I felt the same way. I always thought that if we could have something at the racetrack itself, it would attract visitors and it would keep people interested in the sport. In the off season, and of course, Kentucky Downs has a large off season, and it took about a year and a half to put everything together. Dan Ware, who runs the tourism office down there, has been very, very helpful to us, both in terms of the financial support from the local community, but also for marketing and for publicity, because there's signs up all over the place that people can come see these great horses. And so, to me, this is a little. This is our experiment to prove that it could work at a racetrack, and if it works there at a racetrack, then it might work at other places as well, and other racetracks might want to become involved. So we'll see what happens, but it's certainly working there.
Now, this is a good fall period for you. Things start to hear the Old Friends Day at Kentucky Downs tomorrow and the stake, and then Michael, really it's kind of the homecoming year with Breeders' Cup, two cracks at a lot of people coming to town and to the area for Breeders' Cup and Equestricon and so forth, and expect that leading up to Breeders' Cup, and I see you got the Breeders' Cup barbecue dinner, and this should be a pretty busy September, October for you and the farm.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Breeders' Cup has been unbelievable to us. You know, Maker's Mark has come out with another commemorative bottle, and all the proceeds go to us and to the Kentucky Derby Museum. We're working with them this year, but the Breeders' Cup has just been really, really helpful to us all of these years. Everybody over there, Dora and Peggy, and Brian, everybody's just been a tremendous help to all these old horses, and plus we have, I think we've got like 23 horses that ran in the Breeders' Cup, and we have, you know, we have Alphabet Soup who won the Classic, and I think over the years we've had 4 Breeders' Cup sprint winners, Precisionist, Gulch, Amazombie, and now Cajun Beat. So we have a really long and very positive relationship with Breeders' Cup. So we'll be at Equestricon with the Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance. They've done an amazing job. And then the day after Breeders' Cup, that Sunday after Breeders' Cup, we'll have our big party at the farm. And usually there's a whole lot of people that participate in the Breeders' Cup to come to that party. So, you know, Ramon Dominguez is coming. And, you know, Chris McCarron will be there. And, you know, Terry Finley always comes. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think we're going to raise a lot of awareness. And one of the things I have to mention about Saratoga is going on Andy Serling's show there on Thursday at the Parting Glass is one of the great highlights of the entire trip. And one of the good things now is we get to recruit horses. Now, people go to the sale and they're buying these yearlings and two-year-olds. I go to Saratoga and recruit 9-year-old geldings, you know, it's like... but I can tell you this, Steve, we just made arrangements to retire King Creesa.
Oh,
and
wow.
One of the cool things about retiring King Creesa, who will be probably take another couple of weeks, but he'll be down here in a couple of weeks. I hope to get him here before Breeders' Cup. One of the cool things is we just got Lubosch. And so, you know, going to Saratoga, the best point handicap. And every year it seemed it was either Lubosch or King Creesa won that race, and so they'll be reunited.
Well, wait a minute. You better line yourself up to get Carafa, because if you get Carafa and Lubosch and King Creesa, those three-headed stakes race, they can occur every afternoon in the paddock. It could be, you could have like a series of a challenge series between the three of
like
that
the
would be hysterical. Oh my God, that's funny.
Tour in golf.
Exactly. And believe me, they've got to know each other. That's hysterical that you're putting them all. Yeah. You got the two of them. Well, line up Carafa.
Okay, that's a great idea. You can help us.
Get a hold of Tim Hills, and I'm sure that although he was terrific, winning earlier in the meet. That was one of the great moments, actually.
Away. Yeah,
yeah. That was tremendous.
Away from being retired, but.
Well, when they get to that point, it can happen anytime. But as they get older, but they could be ready to go to retire. But that was a huge win.
Yes, it was a great race, and one of the really other cool things about King Kreese is I talked to David Donk about him a couple of years ago, so it's been in the works for a while. And one of the really cool things is they know that he could go out and race again and win some really good allowance races and some stakes races. I'm sure he could generate some more money, but they've decided to retire him before.
It's good for the creases.
Before he's run into the ground, and that is so nice of them, and I really appreciate it.
Good for them. And didn't you have you had a WAD, didn't you?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a relationship with David, yeah?
David's the best. When we had a WAD at the farm, Steve, David brought his whole family down, his three children and Faye. They all came to the farm to see him after he'd been here for a few months. And he looked out and he told his kids, he says, all right, I want you to take a really good look at this horse, a really good look. And they're all staring at him and looking at him. And he says, and I hear David's voice say, it's because of this horse you're never going to have to take out a loan for college. And still to this day, if you call David's phone number, Faye and David Donk, the answering machine says, hello, you've reached the home of Faye and David Donk in the house of the Wad Box.
I've heard that message. That's funny. I absolutely have heard that message, too. David, again, just coming off of a very good Saratoga, as it happens.
Yeah,
another good. Yeah, he's terrific. He does he's one of those unheralded and underappreciated horsemen that just consistently wins. One of the Woody Stevens legacy outfits.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Well, in so many ways, Saratoga brings out the best in everybody. They just get up there and something happens.
Michael, it should be a tremendous day at Kentucky Downs tomorrow. And if anybody's headed over, you're going to get a chance to contribute and pitch in the fundraising and the merriment. And then when it comes to your trip this fall to Kentucky for Breeders' Cup, make sure to get to Georgetown and touch base with Michael and everybody at the farm, oldfriendsequine.org. I'll send out the links and make your plans. And if you've got time on the back end of Breeders' Cup, stay for the barbecue. And when the Breeders' Cup comes back to Kentucky, and there'll be another one, of course, at Keeneland in 2 years, a chance for everybody to visit if you don't get there on your Derby trip or any of your trips to the Bluegrass. So, Michael, good luck tomorrow. Enjoy, and we will talk ahead of Breeders' Cup, probably.
Oh, thanks so much, Steve. Always a pleasure.
Pleasure for us, and Michael Blowen on the stomp all the time. Has done an amazing job building Old Friends from a rather simple concept into really the preeminent retiree tourist attraction. It's what it is. Two satellite farms, New York and Kentucky Downs, and any number of really fun get-togethers through the course of the year. Just had the one here at Saratoga weeks ago, and tomorrow at Kentucky Downs, and then leading up toward Breeders' Cup. Let's take a break here. Pete Fornatale, he's standing by. He's got the little one. Perrin is off to start her school year. I sent Tina off, and Pete sent Perrin off. Back after this, Sid Fernando ahead too. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Interesting group, grade one winners, and very anxious to get Sid's read on how important Sipican Harbor's win in the spinaway was for Orb. Really a timely performance with the Keeneland sail ahead. Back after this, Pete Fornatel joins us, looming boldly as he does.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
With Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Your feet in the air and your head on the ground. Try this trick and spin it, yeah. Your head will collapse, there's nothing in it. And you ask yourself, where is my mind? Where is my mind?
We're back at the races at about 20 to the top, and or less than that now that I look up. And Pete Fornatel joining us, and the pretty appropriate intro as Pete and myself are both kind of adjusting this morning. Pete had to get Perrin off to school today, and I'm still a little bit in transition mode, Pete, from Saratoga season, about as intense a 7 weeks as you're going to have. And I can tell that you're in the same frame of mind.
Absolutely. Steve, I've had bus rides, 2-hour bus rides that seem to go faster than the 6.5 weeks in Saratoga. So at the end of it, it's appropriate. Listen to that brilliant Pixies tune. I think that was the Trampled by Turtles cover you introduced me to on here a few years back. I went right out and bought the record, and it's great stuff. And it does speak to the mood today. And, you know, as I mentioned last week, trying to do various mental tactics to keep from feeling too sad about things. I was losing the fight yesterday. Today, I think I'm winning the fight. Dropping Perrin off the first day of school definitely helped reset the calendar and looking forward to some of the exciting things we have ahead as a bit of a solve to the psychic wounds of the end of another Saratoga season. It's come to mean so much more than just the absence of great racing. It's really, I think, how I'm feeling the passage of years at this point more than anything else.
Well, we were more or less anticipating the closeout of the meet, but now that we're fully wrapped and we really came full circle. We started it was the middle of the summer and we were feeling it, and now it's the beginning of September and we're right back into like high 80s, low 90s summer heat. It's pretty funny that we it was really a circuit when it came to the summer, and it had its moments of you know, sort of frustration. I think you know, you had a lot to plan for and look forward to, and I'm sure that once you got the World Horse Players Tour show debuted, the rest of it was a chance to relax and enjoy.
Absolutely, there was plenty of that going on. Thank goodness I had swimming pool access this summer. That definitely made it about 77 and a half times better than just sweating it out. But the World Horse Player Tour getting off to a great start up there is definitely one of the things I'll remember. And great times with friends. It was not a profitable summer financially for me, but it was in terms of getting the number of people and the quality of interactions and some of the nights that we had, whether sitting in the backyard with the smoker going or just sitting at those tables next to the paddock bar, taking it all in, getting to know people better, connecting. It's a Saratoga that socially was certainly grade one, and I'll carry that with me for sure. You're right, out in Brooklyn, even this morning, Steve, out there, it's brutal. I just took the walk back from parent school two neighborhoods over, and I might as well have jumped in the swimming pool for how I look at the moment. But I have a feeling we're going to get nice fall, winter coming in, and some exciting things to look forward to. Top of the list for me, I've spent some of the morning booking my travel for Toronto next weekend. Not too late for folks to sign up for this Woodbine Mile contest. Great opportunity to have showing against not the large. It's not a Keeneland-sized field. It's more of a boutique contest, you might say, north of the border. Incredible hospitality. Still plenty of opportunities to get up there to Toronto very reasonably, especially into the city airport via Porter Airlines, which is the way I like to go, avoid some of the big international airport hassles. And two great days of racing, Woodbine Mile on Saturday, those good two-year-old races on Sunday. And contest players are still talking about the buffet from last year, the surf and turf getting a particular mention. Folks should definitely check out and think about heading up to Toronto next weekend for this Woodbine Mile contest that's become one that many contest players are circling on their calendar at this point.
Well, and that has been a post-Saratoga and pre-Breeders' Cup. And, you know, other than, I suppose, the, you know, the Breeders' Cup lead-ins that we look forward to at Keeneland, Belmont, and Santa Anita, that card, that Woodbine Mile, and I suppose, Pete, from a historic perspective and from a flashpoint, I would say Wise Dan made this weekend, this Woodbine weekend, what it's become.
I like that observation. I mean, obviously, that race has been a big deal for a long time, but I remember there for many years it would even be on different days, and I think it's really settled into a rhythm. And as we've seen internationally, sometimes a superstar will really put his stamp on a meet. We certainly saw that with Champions Day and Frankel over when that became the can't-miss meeting in the UK of fall. And I kind of like the idea that Wise Dan help kick things into high gear. What a great horse he was. That was before my days of going up there. For me, Woodbine Mile was one. Actually, what happened is, I for work, I had to go one June, we were doing a seminar up there. And I loved it so much, I said, I'm definitely coming back for the mile, and I haven't missed one since. It's just, it's one of those days, and this happens to me in racing, it's happened with the Arkansas Derby as well. You go to some of these big events, and you just sort of catch the bug, and you just want to keep going back. And I do think that the equine star power certainly contributes to that vibe.
Well, talking about stars, how about a little appreciation for closing weekend at Del Mar and Ellis and Saratoga and what it offered? And you also, as promised, you verbalized or at least put into print the degenerate doubleheader, missing only a visit to High Line and to a dog track to making it, you know, the absolute pinnacle of racing lunacy and gambling frivolity.
We had so much fun, and again, it was sort of my Saratoga summer that I was describing before, writ small. The financial aspect wasn't so great, but how great to see my friend Brian Natto, who I've known for so long now, former colleague at the Saratoga Special. We both get so busy during the meet. It was great to have at least one day to kick it old school and be there sitting together for, umpteen hours. And I love that it's gone from this endurance test of just me and Brian betting every single race to a little bit more civilized, where we attract a cast of not quite thousands, but a couple of dozen, I think, between all the quick visits throughout the day, and just a great chance to get to meet up with some people, some at the races listeners, our regular crew, the guys from Albany and Schenectady who we hang out with it every day, and from a little bit more up the Northway as well. It's just a great opportunity to hang, and I think I like the new location of it. We used to do it the last couple of years. It's been Alabama weekend. Very nice to do it as a special kickoff to the final weekend, which really, even though the plant isn't quite as popping as it is maybe some of the other weeks, in terms of racing, I mean, one of the racing things I'll remember as much as anything from the whole meet was that Yoshida run, Steve, in the Woodward. It was just so great to see that horse who we've been yapping about on the DRF Players podcast ever since he made his second career start, and had heard the speculation for a long time now about, oh, what would he do on dirt? What would he do on dirt? Well, if you're going to go on that, he's going to do plenty on dirt. He looked great. Beautiful, beautiful ride, beautiful finish through the lane. And it was just cool to see a horse who I've just really enjoyed throughout his career put himself in the winner's circle for one of the signature events of the Saratoga meeting. And that's another memory I'm going to hold pretty dear. I could see him ending up, I could see his dirt-covered body ending up in a picture on the kitchen wall before too long.
Yeah, nice. Some other highlights from closing weekend?
Let's see. I mean, I definitely, it was not financially enjoyable, but I did enjoy, I always enjoy the spinaway as a race, and this year for me, I'm going to stick with it. The sort of hidden handicapping edge I think you can get when you're looking at these two-year-olds and they're going for the first time from 5.5 or even 6 to 7, and understanding that that furlong is worth more than a furlong, and being able to take a look and at least, I'm not saying you have to pick them every time, but at least try to give some extra credit to horses who've been that distance or have been farther, because it really seems to play out on the track where that's an advantage. And I'm hoping the next time we see a 16-1 who'd won impressively at the distance and a 70-1 run in the number who'd been farther, I want to think I'm going to give those horses a little bit of extra credit, and I want to think back to this year's closing weekend as the time when I learned that lesson once and for all. To not just go by the numbers in those instances and to really look a little bit deeper and really try to think about how different that 7 furlongs is than the previous distances they've been running as two-year-olds up at Saratoga.
Interesting. Some other results and some other action that kind of transitions us into the fall. What's upcoming that everybody needs to know about?
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff happening on DRF tournaments. The main focus, the contest that really seems to be attracting the most interest going forward is this the Keeneland Fall Challenge, and that's a great one. Another one that folks can circle if Woodbine comes up too soon for you, especially. Make a weekend out of October 13th and 14th at Keeneland, especially if you're a player who's never been there. The 14th is the one you'll probably want to try to qualify for. That's a $3,000 live bankroll contest. But on the Saturday, there's a $400 one. And then you also just have the opportunity to take advantage of what's typically lovely weather in Lexington, obviously the seat of the breeding industry in America, and just an amazing place for any horse player to check out. I always recommend that folks go to the Visit Horse Country website. The Horse Country website, you can book all kinds of tours in the area, especially farm tours. Nothing gets me in touch with my fan side of racing like visiting one of the big operations. And you have opportunities to get some grade one level farm tours via there as well. Make a weekend out of Lexington in October. I recommend it. And again, you can win your way in to that Sunday contest on DRF Tournaments, which you can find at tournaments.drf.com. Also, for those thinking ahead, if you're more of a Vegas person, we've got qualifiers for the Orleans Fall Classic that's happening that same weekend. That's the 11th through the 13th out in Vegas. You could theoretically do both. And if you're looking ahead, one of the best opportunities that's currently scheduled for contest players, Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship, like the World Horse Players Tour, no entry fee. But you got to get your buy-in together. You got to get your bankroll together. In the case of the Pegasus, it's $12,000. But you can win your way in a two-stage qualifying process on DRF Tournaments, starting for $220, and then in that one, you can move your way forward to the next level qualifier by finishing in the top five, and then eventually win your all the way to Gulfstream Park, January 25th. And 26. I'm hoping to get down there this year if things dovetail correctly. I'd love to see my first Pegasus World Cup, and certainly covering the Pegasus World Cup Betting Championship will be part of the thrill. Those are just some of the games available right now at DRF Tournaments. Go to tournaments.drf.com and check out the entire roster.
Well, and also I'm going to alert everybody on the on the NHC front, there's some super qualifiers that have been added, and these are live money contests. September 29th is the first big one coming up at Belmont, and then there'll be one at Fairgrounds December 22nd, and then Santa Anita January 5th. And at the NTRA NHC section, jump in and you can get the details. And if you hadn't seen this yet, good opportunity, especially if you like the live money side of things. And this is I'll send a link out actually for everybody too. $1,000 gets you that's your bankroll, and it's a $1,500 registration, so $500 to the prize pool, and NHC purse and travel monies, and good opportunity. Three new NHC qualifiers.
Absolutely, and I should mention that both Keeneland and Woodbine are going to have seats for the NHC and for the Breeders' Cup contest as well. Obviously, that will be held in conjunction with the Breeders' Cup at Churchill Downs. So lots of ways to continue your journey and win your way into these big tournaments. I talked to a lot of novice contest players this meet, and they ask me about things they can do to improve their game. And I say it time and time again, going to some of these bigger events is great, not just for the opportunity, not just for the fun, but for the people that you meet and the way that the company you keep and the networking you can do as a horse player, or really as any type of gambler, can really improve the player you are. And I think for horse players these days, obviously you can go to these big meets, Breeders' Cup, Saratoga, Del Mar, etc., but you're going to find a concentration of sharp players that you're not going to find anywhere else at an event like the NHC, where hopefully, Steve, I'll be with you again out in January. To this day, people giving us positive feedback on those hours of broadcasting we've done from there. And I think part of it is that same reason, just the concentration of smart, interesting, sharp players. You can't help but meet somebody cool and improve your game just by being in that environment, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, everybody loves the broadcasting because they can't wait to hear what crazy thing Duke Matisse is going to say next. That's why people tune in. What is Crazy Duke going to say next?
He's calmer than on his Twitter.
Twitter brings out the worst in many people, and Duke being probably at the top of many lists. He's the first to admit it. He said, "I don't know what comes over me."
It's therapy. I think it's therapy for him. It's a high stress life, and it's an opportunity to just, you know, to get off that steam. I thought he and Paul last year, their segment with us out in Vegas, we got into some, that was some next level stuff. I should probably go back, re-listen. I could probably get about 14 extra articles out of it.
That good thinking. Well, and you and I are talking about recalibrating our lives back to normal for them, for the Matisse household. It's got to be a real upheaval because, of course, all the work that Paul puts in, and then, you know, the team having to go, you know, glom their picnic tables every morning and set up shop, and then, you know, it's like a factory. It's like building. It's like a they talk about those pop up sales. It's like a pop up factory every single day, 40 days out of 50.
There must be some element of relief given the logistical. It is sort of like a military maneuver, how they get themselves sorted out up there. There must be some palpable relief when it's all over and you can just go back to the war room and bet some horses. But I'm also sure it's not without its sadness, too, the way we were talking about before. I'm overdue to get Paul for a visit on the podcast, and I'll add that to the list of things to talk to him about if we get him before too long. And folks who haven't checked out the Matisse visit, I still think, even though the meet's over, plenty to learn to check out that appearance he did with you, the boys did with you, Steve, early in the meet on TV up at Saratoga. That was an excellent one.
Oh, I'm glad you reminded me of that. I will provide everybody, I promise, the link to the just terrific conversation. Sam the Bugler and Saul Kumin as we close things out on Sunday. And Saul's going to join me on the radio as well. But it really had what I thought was an informative half hour with Saul on television on Sunday. And I asked him a lot of the questions that I assume that people would love to hear. I mean, what his approach and what the mindset is, what the financial goals are, and, you know, where, what the stopgap method is for, you know, for getting a return, you know, what the rewards were of being involved with Justify, knowing that there wasn't going to be long-term residuals to be gleaned from his stud career, because for Saul, there's long-term residuals for Starlight. For Saul, it was different, and he answered that, I thought, really well, and he talked about the Phillies and Mares and their approach on that front. It was really good for those that, you know, that kind of look wide-eyed at what Saul is doing. And the same thing with, you know, when we talk to Paul and Duke, as we do now every year. Seth Merrow and I, and Seth will be on later from the family estate in Maine. And you want to ask questions that people may have in their minds, and you do the same thing when it comes to the contest players and providing you know, insights into, you know, people that all of us can learn from.
Well, thank you. That's definitely the idea, and obviously learned a lot from you working together over the last few years. And best news of all, I've got a train ride later into the city. Now my listening is sorted. I'll make sure to get that Saul Kumin and Sam the Bugler hours downloaded so I can check them out. For folks who want to download those pods directly, Steve, where do you find it again? What's the name of the show?
Well, this was Loose on the Lead, and yes. Capital OTB at their website, they've got the audio. If you don't want to look at us, you can just listen to the audio like that. And if you want to watch it, because someone said to me humorously, you're really animated. And I turned to Tina and I said, honey, she thinks I'm animated on television. That's we got a kick out of that.
A couple of gesticulators.
Yes, exactly. keep your hands in the moving vehicle at all times.
Tie my hands down. I can't speak.
The segment was Sam. We wanted. I knew early on in the meet, once the word had circulated that Sam was retiring, I knew he would be our last visit of the year. And I've known Sam for 20 of the 25 years. Because people don't realize he did not immediately start coming up to Saratoga. The bugler that he replaced at Belmont Aqueduct maintained the Saratoga role for a few years. Sam wasn't that keen because he had the two young boys, and he didn't want to be separated from them. When they were little toddlers, so at some point the opportunity to come up to Saratoga, and that's when Sam kind of became Sam the Bugler. At that time he had been Naira Bugler Sam Grossman, and then he became Sam the Bugler, and then there was the bobblehead, and it took off from there. He became larger than life, and I got choked up. I will admit freely. Because what he does is just remarkable. I mean, he works that crowd 40 days and is out there playing songs and entertaining people and enhancing their Saratoga day. And he did it cheerfully and with a lot of mirth. For a certain period, maybe with a little too much mirth and merriment. he will be tough to replace if not impossible.
Such a part of the fabric of the place, and somebody who's definitely made it. As we all do, you bring out crowds of new people from time to time, and he's somebody who would have that knack for finding the new face in the crowd and putting on a show and entertaining and definitely making the day more fun, like you're saying, and that's. That's a tough, very, very tough act to follow, and I agree, he will be missed.
Pete, the fall is upon us, and we will track things to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, and looking forward to Woodbine coming up in a couple of weeks. I'll be going to Pennsylvania as well for Pennsylvania Derby Day, and maybe we can hook you into a Far Hills trip for a little... little Grand National in October.
I love that meeting. It's been a long time since I was there. I used to go every year. It's sort of fallen off the dance card, but I absolutely love it out there. And there's betting this year, right?
Exactly. There is a Parimutuel, and that's only going to enhance the afternoon. So
let me see.
Think
it's
about
right
it.
Around Susan's birthday. That's where it got a little tricky for me. I think one year Susan selflessly spent her birthday out there in the mud with me at Far Hills, and I sort of got the vibe not to ask again. But maybe we've gone far enough. We can get
it's it it's got to be the 19th. It's got to be Saturday the 19th.
Okay, that's before this year. I think I might be drawing lots, Steve. I'm going to take a look.
All right. Everybody should plan. And actually, I owe Rick Hendricks a visit too after his. Success in the Turf Riders. We have not had a chance to celebrate that win, and I'm glad this came up. So make some plans. We do not miss it, and in fact, it's going to be particularly fun. We've got an Eagle game on Sunday too. The next day, so Saturday Saturday October 20th is the 21st, the 20th.
The 20th. All right, I'm putting that in the book. We're going to sit down. We got a family meeting tonight, figure out all this travel between, it's some fun stuff, really, the more I think about it. Toronto, Lexington, Breeders' Cup. I got an England trip sandwiched in there. I'm feeling so much, this is like therapy for me, Steve. I was feeling still a little sad this morning. I'm now ready for the fall, thanks to the first day of school in year.
Well done. Well done. Pete Fornital, everybody, and looming boldly on your Twitter machine, looms boldly, and at the tournament drop down, all the news and all the information at drf.com. Pete, talk next week.
Till next week. Thanks, my friend.
compete for in a towel. Let's take a break, and 15 in, perfect timing, and we will spend the next half hour with Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. And the myriad of topics, I'm really anxious to hear what Sid heard and the reaction. He was there on Saturday for Woodward Spinaway Day, and I'm anxious for his read on what this does for Orb, getting that grade one winner, and really timely. So don't know if he talked to Bernie Sams and the Claiborne team, but they've got to be just thrilled that that Orb got that kind of elusive big skin to hang on the wall. And I want him to talk about really part two of the Catholic boys story, which was Yoshida. Here's another quote-unquote turf horse winning a big grade one. And then he's also, I floated it out to him as brought up yesterday and a little bit earlier, that fascinating resumed racing career of Rainbow Air after covering 31 mares at Ocala Stud. And he got a late start because he won on Pegasus weekend and, you know, then was retired and was going to start the career. Except by that time, people had kind of, people had made their plans. So the idea was floated when they saw what good shape he was in after the breeding season. What if we brought him back and let him try to make a run at the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint? And if he was able to do that and make an impact, it would enhance, his interest level and maybe enhance people to come to him with their mares to Ocala Stud. So David O'Farrell and the Novaks and Jason Service, and here's Rainbow Air, and he ran very well on Monday in the Turf Monster. So I want Sid to comb the annals and see if Leslie Knopf said carry back was the first one that came to her mind. So we'll see what Sid thinks. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.